I realize that this is not a perfect illustration or a perfect example of our experience with God. Because of this, you and I are now indwelled by the Spirit of God. The presence of God is a reality to our everyday life if we would just go ahead and acknowledge His presence. They, though, understand this. Understand King David was a man who had this. Well, let's even go back to Saul. Saul was a man who had the Spirit of God to come upon him, but because of Saul's behavior, the Spirit of God left Saul. Can I get an amen? This is Wednesday night crowd, right? Faithful crowd. We go to Sunday school and everything. We know a lot about the Bible, those of us on Wednesday nights. And so Saul, we know the Spirit of God left Saul. But then the Bible talks about David, that the Spirit of God came upon David and never departed. So David lived in the Old Testament with the Spirit of God upon him. Wow. Now, he had the Spirit of God upon him, and it's interesting that when he becomes king, the first thing that he wants for his nation is the presence of God. Now, let me say this to you, friend. This is something that is vital if we are going to have revival. Revival will come and has a better chance of coming when those who have experienced the presence of God want others to experience the presence of God badly. Can I get an amen? David had so experienced God and so experienced His presence that when he has an opportunity to make one of his first decisions, if you please, as the king of Israel, he said, here's what my nation needs. Here's what my people need. Here's what my leaders need. Let me say to you tonight, friend, those of you that have been in this way longer, may I preach to those that are in your ish ages? You know what I mean by ish ages? You're 50-ish. You're 60-ish. You're 70-ish. Amen. You're in that age bracket where you are nowhere close to being like the young men running around here. But you, friend, let's go ahead. Let me talk to that group of ladies and that group of men. Come on, let's be honest about something. You all have experienced something that some of this generation has never experienced. They've not seen it. They don't know it. If there's anything your nation needs, if there's anything Gateway Baptist Church needs, it needs you to want the presence of God. Why? Because you've known it. How can a young man who's never known it, he don't know what he's missing. Can I get an amen? But whatever you do, don't sit around complaining that it's not the way it used to be. I'm smiling. Y'all smiling? We're still smiling at each other. Whatever you do, don't sit around and complain it's not like it used to be. You know how it used to be, and you know what you did when it was that way. Can I get an amen? What Gateway need? We don't need the old saints of God to not feel like we need them anymore. We need you more than we have ever needed you. If there's one thing I need more than I've ever needed, it's men like Brother Ray Stewart. I'm 40. He's in the ish ages. Amen. We have got men across our nation that they are in their 60-ishes. They are in their 70-ishes. And if we're not careful, they're going to start thinking. And if we're not careful, us bunch of punk little boy preachers are going to start thinking we don't need them. But if there's one thing we need, we need that crowd that remembers the way it used to be and can still remember where they got it and how they got it. We don't know how to get it. I thank God I grew up the way I grew up, Brother Ray. But Brother Ray, I grew up a lot different than some of the crowd that's coming up right now. I love the preacher boys that are coming up, but you and I talked about it a little bit today. They're missing something. I can't give it to them. Only God can give it to them. I thank God, though, I had a daddy who had it, and he didn't give it to me, but thank God he told me where I could find it. He said, I would go to him, Daddy, how do you know you've been called to preach? He said, all I know, son, is you know when you know. Well, how do I know? He said, all I know, boys, you better get along with God and you had better find out. And you want to know what I did? I did a crazy thing. I locked myself into a closet of a little single wide trailer sitting on the mountainside of a little coal mining town in Richlands, Virginia. And I did what I saw my daddy do. I locked myself away and I told God, I'm going to get in this closet, God, because the Bible says get in the closet. I'm going to shut the door, God. Why? Because the Bible says shut the door. And here's something else I'm going to do, God. I ain't leaving here until I'm different. I am not coming out of this closet until you change me. Now, I didn't get that at Bible college. I'm not knocking Bible college. I didn't get that out of a commentary, and I'm not knocking commentaries. I got that from a silver-headed saint that had something on him that knew how to get a hold of God, and he told me how to get a hold of God. You silver-headed saints, you may have never preached a message in your life, and you may never ever preach a message in your life, but you have been faithful. You have prayed. You have prayed the glory down when a generation didn't even know what was going on. Listen to me tonight, that generation. Whatever you do whatever you did to get the glory of God to fall in your day, because there's a generation of preachers that just don't know what to do. Boy, I said a whole lot right there. Did any Spanish come out in that? No. It's breaking my heart. It's breaking my heart. It's breaking my heart. It's breaking my heart that we have got a young group of preachers. The only thing they're missing, they got the education. They got the right kind of suits. They got the right haircuts. They're even carrying the right Bible. The only thing that's missing is a double portion of the power of God. The only thing that's missing is the conviction of God when they preach. And I'm not knocking them. I'm testifying to you tonight. One of the reasons that it's missing is because some of the older crowd didn't tell them how to get it. That's good preaching. I didn't get a whole lot of amens. I expected four on that one. Four. I got Brother Ray and a couple others. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying David lived with the presence of God on his life. And when he became king, he said, what I want for my nation, what I want for my leadership, what I want for my people is the presence of God. And I think we ought to go get God. Amen. And we learned last night that we can go and get God. We can go back to God. Why? Because it is an ark of a covenant. We can go back to God. We see the promise of God when we see the ark of the covenant. Me getting close, I can be just as close to God tonight as I have ever been, because it's not based upon my promise to him, it's based upon his promise to me. If I try to go get close, listen to me tonight. If I try to go and get close to God, and I really want to get close to God, he has promised if I will draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to me. I can be as close to God tonight as I have ever been. You say, but you don't know what's in my life. You don't know how wonderful our God is. We first thing we see when we see that he's going back to get the Ark of the Covenant is we see the promise of God. The second thing we see is we see the personality of God. You say, what do you mean? Well, when we look at the Ark of the Covenant, as David refers to it as the Ark of God, when we look at the Ark of God, then in keeping in context of what David's saying, he's telling us, gang, that Ark will tell you some things about God. Can I get an amen? He said that ark will tell you some things about God. First thing it'll tell you about God is he's a covenant keeper, not a covenant breaker. I know we lie and we lie and we lie. And so we have a hard time comprehending that there would be a being in existence that has never told a lie. But God has never, ever told a lie. Hallelujah. But then the second thing the ark of God will tell us about God is it will show us his personality. Now I hope you grab a hold of this. We will not only know his promise, but we can see his personality. When you look at the Ark of the Covenant, it contains the covenant inside. It contained Aaron's rod. It contained manna. It contained those things. But there was something that was setting, something very prominent, that sat on top of the Ark. Can I get an amen right there? What was it called? The mercy seat. When we look at the mercy seat, we see the personality of God. The covenant is the promise of God. The mercy seat is the personality of God. What do you mean by the personality of God? The personality of God is this. It is one of love and mercy. It is an attribute of his. He is, the Bible says it, I didn't make it up. He is merciful. We say that so fast sometimes that we don't go ahead and acknowledge what the Bible's telling us with that little word. He is merciful. Understand this. Understand this. He is full of mercy. Can I get an amen right there? He is full of it. He is full of mercy. But let me share something else when the Bible says he is merciful. He is mercy to its fullest. Amen. Oh, that should have made you shout right there. He's not only full of mercy, but he is mercy to the fullest. Ladies and gentlemen, every time we come to God, we're going to find him merciful. Woo! And every time we come to God, we're going to find mercy to its fullest. Can I get, wow, that I'm having a good time right now. I got to move on. We are coming to the ark of God. We are learning about his promises, but we are also learning about his personality tonight. What about his personality? Do you realize that it is called, what is it called? What's sitting on top of the ark? Help me out. It's called a mercy. You want to know what I'm afraid that the devil has slipped in on us? I'm afraid the devil has slipped in on us that we go to a judgment seat. Can you hear me? Did you hear what that? Huh? Yeah. I'm afraid, friends, that we don't go to God because we think we're going, oh, I'm about to start preaching now. Because we think we're going to a judgment seat. Not in these times. Hallelujah. Help me, Brother Ray. I'm about to take flight. Oh, hey. No. Not in these times. Not in these times. We've already talked about understanding the times. We are in the time of grace. It was issued in by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And woo! And I want you to know it's got a beginning and it's going to have an ending. But and at the ending, we're getting out of here. But it's got an in-between. And we are in the in-between. And in the in-between, it's still the grace age. Listen to me. At the end, there's going to be a judgment seat. But thanks be to God, while I'm down here, it's not a judgment seat. It's still a mercy seat. Woo! You let that sink in tonight. Let it sink in. Oh, yeah, we're going to the Bema seat. We're going to the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah, there's going to be the great white throne or seat of judgment. Yes, at the end of this time. But right now, at this time, I am not. Oh, thank you, Lord. Every time I go to God, I am not going to His judgment seat. You can't get over it. You want to know why? Because you've been slipped a false thinking of the devil. Every time you go to God, you are not, you will never, you will never, you will never, you will never be judged. You will always go to a mercy seat and find Him merciful and find mercy to its fullest. For how long? Until this time is over. And then when it's over, we will be perfect. We'll be like Jesus. And we won't need a mercy seat because we're going to be perfect. Hallelujah. But while I need it, I got it. Every time I go, I find mercy. I've been when I was feeling good and found mercy. I've been when I was feeling bad and found mercy. I've been when I was doing right and found mercy. I've been when I did wrong and I found mercy. I've been when I did wrong again and I found mercy. I've been when I did wrong. I've been when I did the same wrong thing again and found mercy. I've never, brother, woo, I've never been to the mercy seat and found judgment. Woo! Habla español. I'm about to. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, gang, let's go get God and we can get Him. Why? Because of His promise. And two, because of His personality. In the time of the church age, in the time of the grace age, we can go to Him and find Him ready, willing, and able to help in our time of trouble. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews real quick. Shoo. Oh, my. Do we have a doctor in the house? Hebrews. Look at me now. See what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to go ahead. Listen to me. Forgive me, Father. Listen to the Bible. The Bible teaches us this, that we should judge ourselves, lest we be judged. And most of us do that. But the problem is after we place judgment upon our actions, we condemn ourselves. And a lot of us Christians spend our lives in a sense of hopelessness. We hadn't got it right thus far, Brother Ray. Don't look like we ever will. So why don't we just sit down, shut up, and endure till the end? Can I get an amen right there? Can I get an amen right there? It's because, yeah, we've had self-judgment. And we agree with the devil and our flesh. We are guilty and deserve damnation. But every time we go to God, if we, even after we judge ourselves, if we go to God, every time I've judged myself and confessed, ain't this good preaching? And confessed, it's sin. He's been faithful and just to forgive me of that sin. I have not yet went to God and confessed a sin and not left forgiven. Hallelujah. Hebrews, where am I at? Hebrews, that's in the New Testament. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of judgment. Nope. unto the throne of grace. Why can we come boldly to the throne of grace? Because of the time in which we live. Woo, it's good to be alive right now. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain what? That we might obtain? No, that we may obtain. It's a done deal. If you'll come looking for it, you'll find it every single time, because he is merciful and he's full of mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. That we may obtain mercy and look and find grace to help in time of need. What are we going to do? What do you think we ought to do? Well, let's go over here and talk to the men who have understanding of our times. The more I preach this, the more I'm starting to realize very few Christians have an understanding of our times. They don't understand the time in which we live. They don't understand that we are living in a time where we can obtain mercy every time. But preacher, you don't understand. I have done this and I have done that, and I have done it over and over and over again. And the only reason I'm coming to church, and the only reason I'm tithing, and the only reason I'm doing what I'm doing, it ain't because I'm close to God anymore. It's because I just don't want to die. I'm afraid he'll kill me if I don't at least come to church. But it ain't like it used to be. And I know it ain't like it could be. I wished I had what Brother Ray had, and I wished I had what Brother Gary had, and I wished I had what this dear brother had. I wished I was as close to God as them. And I remember when I first got saved, I remember how I felt. Oh, I could fly away when I first got saved. But over a period of time, to be honest with the preacher, the world's got me. The devil's got me. I got strongholds back in my life. I'm doing stuff, and I'm a wreck, and I'm a mess. And ladies and gentlemen, you are no more a mess now than the first time you met Jesus. When you asked Jesus to save you, did he? Yeah, he did. Did you find mercy? Yeah, you did. You know what you'll find this time? Mercy. Because why? That's the times in which we live. There's coming a day when it's over. There's coming a day when they'll cry out for mercy and they'll not find it. Can I get an amen? There's coming an end. There's coming a time that they'll want the rocks to fall upon them. They'll want the mountains to fall upon them. They'll cry for mercy from the Lamb. They're trying to escape the wrath of the Lamb. And they'll cry out for mercy and have none. There's a time when a man dies, and if he's rejected the mercy of God, he will from the pits of hell, Lord, have mercy and find none. But that's not the time in which you're living. You're living in a time of mercy. Let's move on. Y'all still with me? We're learning something about his personality. I'm going to take you to a little bit of unusual passage of Scripture to link these two together. To be quite honest with you, I'd have never linked them together, but thank God the Holy Ghost links it all together. I want you to turn real quick. We got, what time is it, Brother Joshua? Oh, I'm doing good. I want you to turn to Luke chapter number 17. I know Mondays you don't want to stay long, and I know hump day you don't want to stay long. Wednesday's hump day. If we can get over this hump Thursday and Friday, we're going to have a time Thursday and Friday. We just got to live through the hump day. Amen? Somebody say amen. Luke chapter number 17, verse number 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. I do not have time to expound upon why they stood afar off, but most of you know they were unclean. And they, look at this, all 10, lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Lord, don't give us what we deserve, but give us what we need. Can I get an amen? And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, shew yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, talking about Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. I've been hearing about this story all my life. It has taken me to the age of 39 to get a little bit of understanding of why one turned around. Why did one of them turn around? Let's consider it. Y'all still with me? I got about 15 minutes. Hang in here. And Brother Ray, when God showed this to me, that I'm sure many of you have already seen, when God showed this to me, it answered a whole lot of other questions for me. It helped me understand why some shout and some don't. It helped me understand why some give and some don't.
Yep. Come on,
can I get an amen right there? It made me understand why some do a work of faith and some don't. It showed me why some are faithful and some aren't. See, when you look at this passage of Scripture, let's look at it together, can we? All 10 of them acknowledged that they were lepers. There was no debate. All 10 of them hung out together. It's what lepers do. Sores of a leper flock together. And they hung out together, because that's what lepers do. And in the midst of them hanging out together, they all 10 came to the same conclusion. We're lepers. Leper number 1 wasn't fighting with leper number 5 over which one was the worst leper. Can I get an amen? There was no debate over who had lost the most toes. They was all losing toes. Can I get an amen? And they came to the conclusion, we're all lepers. But here's another thing that they all agreed upon. Jesus can save us. All of us. We're not worthy to go to Him, but if we cry loud enough, maybe He'll come to us. Are y'all listening? All 10 of them identified with their sickness. They were all lepers, and all 10 of them identified the Savior. Are you listening? And all 10 of them cried, have mercy on us. All 10 of them. All 10 of them, listen, received the same instruction. Look, go shew yourselves, plural, unto the priest. And as it came to pass that as they went, they, all 10 of them, were cleansed. You say, how do you know all 10 of them? Because it says they were cleansed. Well, but they is a plural pronoun, preacher. It could have meant 5. It could have meant 8. It could have meant 9. Well, let's ask what Jesus said. Jesus says, were there not 10 cleansed?
Amen.
Can I get an amen right there? All 10 of them were cleansed. Here's an incredible truth. Faith in the words of Jesus would get the job done, and got it done for all of them, even those that didn't turn around and thank Him. So I quit looking at those that don't give and say, yeah, they're probably going to go to hell when they die. I quit doing that. Used to do that, but I quit doing that. I quit looking at those that don't praise and say, yeah, they're probably not as saved as I am. They're probably not even saved at all. Come on now. I know I'm the only one. I quit doing that. Those that don't give of their time and of their talents to the Lord and still claim to know Jesus, I used to have a real hard time with that. I still got a little bit of a trouble with it, but not as much as I used to, if I'm going to be honest. Don't want to lie in the pulpit. Amen. But I come to understand something. You say, well, preacher, what's the difference? Look at verse number 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed. You want to know why he turned around and the others didn't turn around? Because he's the only one that saw himself healed, E-D, is a done deal.
Amen.
He's the only one that saw it as done, finished. Can I get an amen, amen. Right there? He saw himself healed. If we would see ourselves saved, if we would see ourselves justified, if we would see ourselves glorified, if you would go ahead and grab a hold of this tonight, that it's already done. It's already settled. You're going to have a hard time not shouting about that, not giving over that, not working over that, not getting excited over that. I'm not trying to get through. I'm already there, amen. I'm already seated. You say, how do you know that? Let's look at what Jesus said. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Why didn't they turn around? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Huh. Isn't that interesting? See, the other 9 needed clarification by some other manner than the simple word of Jesus Christ. He said, go. Don't you think that when Jesus said go, he knew what was going to happen while they was going? And they was all going. And while they were all going, they all got healed. But one saw that he was healed. I know that for sure. But I don't know if the other 9 saw that they were healed or not. I don't know. Bible don't say. I know that one saw it. The others may have saw it too. I don't know. But you know what they did, Brother Ray? Here's what I think they did. I think they went on and went down to the priest and told the priest. I'm about to start preaching now. Went to the priest and said, priest, I want you to examine me and tell me whether or not I'm really healed. There's all kinds of people, Baptist people, Brother Ray. They're going to the Baptist religion. They're going to the Catholic religion. They're going to the Methodist religion. And they're going to religion and saying, I want to compare myself to your religion and allow that religion to determine whether or not I'm healed. You want to know why they went to the priest down to the synagogue? Because they wanted to be restored to the fellowship of their family. They wanted to be restored to the fellowship of the brethren. They weren't caring a whole lot about being close to Jesus. There's a whole lot of people that I know among in Baptist circles that's a lot more concerned about being good in at church than they are being good in with Jesus. Because here's what happens, Brother Ray. You've been doing this a whole lot longer than I have, but here's what happens. We will get in with the church crowd, and we will find them just like us. And we'll think that we are in good with Jesus because we're in good with them. Not even considering that they ain't in good with Jesus either. Hello. I'm still smiling. Amen. He saw it finished and wanted to go and be close to the one who had did it. And Jesus looked at him and said, your faith made you whole. You don't need anybody telling you that you just got saved. Can I get an amen? You don't need anybody to tell you you got cleansed. You're willing to trust me to tell you that you're cleansed. Ladies and gentlemen, what's that got to do with tonight's message? We need to go ahead and trust that we'll go back to Jesus, and you know what he'll tell us every time we go back? You're forgiven. Every time we go back, you're cleansed. Every time we're all right. Every time we will go back to him, we will find him telling us that we're okay. If we'll just go get him. We'll just go get him. Ladies and gentlemen, David said to those people, I tell you what, let's go get God. Let's go get the presence of God. Let's go get him. Why? Well, because of his promise, we can go back. He has made a covenant, and it's an everlasting covenant. And because of his personality and the time in which we live, we will find Jesus every time. Merciful. You say, well, but what if he chastens me? My friend, the greatest act of mercy on this planet is when the Lord Jesus Christ chastens you. Because the chastening of God, may I say this, Brother Ray, I'm almost done. The condemnation of the brethren will drive you out of church, but the chastening of God will always yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. One of the greatest things that has ever happened to me in my life is when God has dealt with my sin and has chastened me, because peace came back and righteous fruit came back and I was better for it. I have ran into the brethren that wouldn't let me get over what I got under. It almost got me out. I'm talking now. Come on. Now, going back to the brethren will usually get you out of sorts with God. But let's don't go there. Let's go to the Lord. You might get a spanking, but it'll be so sweet when it's over. Peaceable fruit of righteousness. Will you stand? With every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Father, we thank you for your promise, and I thank you for your personality. We sing the song, Come Home, Come Home. We read the story of the prodigal. And still we struggle with the reality that we can come home. Father, help us to believe tonight that ye who are weary, come home. Father, have thy way, Lord, in this invitation. Help me, my family. Help everyone here, Father, to be close to you when we leave. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. That last few passages of scriptures, it's all about come. Come. The Lord, the Holy Spirit of God is not a condemning spirit, it's a coaxing spirit. He says, come, come. It's interesting how that most of the time it's Jesus saying, come. Spirit says, come. And usually, brother, in the Bible, if not every time that Jesus is saying go, It's go and tell others they can come. He just wants us to come. He just wants you to come tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Ray to come and close as he sees fit.